We're going to have a short class this evening, maybe 3 or 4 hours. And then, not very long. And then we're going to have a slideshow. Huh? Oh, after Prasadam, it will be about some of our travels, Mayapur and myself, around the world, and some shots from Brazil. And you'll see, for the very first time, operations performed by a psychic healer. That brings me to another point that some of you are aware of my very bad karma I'm suffering from, and well, there's a saying in English, wonders never cease. Like there are the seven wonders of the world, like the pyramids in Egypt and Taj Mahal. These are called the wonders. Oh, so great. So there's a saying that in life, wonders never cease. There's always so many amazing, wonderful things. One of them is that I'm here today. By some accounts, I should be in Naraka Loka. But anyway, I am here. And a large part of that is due to the good wishes and even prayers of devotees around Slovenia and Croatia. So I want to chastise all of you because I was really counting on leaving and seeing whether Krishna's really there or not, but you stopped me from going. But anyway, thank you. Hare Krishna. Very kind to me. I'm reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Chapter 18, entitled The Perfection of Renunciation. We're going to read 3 verses. Shamodamastapasocham shantirajavam evacha Jnana Vijnana Astikyam Brahma Karma Swabhavajam. Text number 42. Translation. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, knowledge, wisdom, and religiousness, these are the natural qualities by which the brahmanas work. So, as you know, there was a discussion between Ramananda Roy, who was the king of Madras, or he was the, we'd say, in charge, wasn't actually the king. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a sannyasi in the renounced order of life. So, although usually you find the sannyasi preaching to the king, in this instance, in this meeting, Chaitanya was asking questions of Ramananda Roy and drawing out from him the perfect answers. So he was asking him, what is the highest duty for a human being? We know that animals, their activities are eating and sleeping and mating and defending. They're mostly engaged in these activities all day long or all lifelong. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But human beings are expected to be a level above the animals. We are animals, but we have higher qualities. So, what is our primary duty? What should we do in this life? And what should be our goal at the end of life? In school, we go from grade 1 to grade 2 to grade 3 to grade 4 to grade graduation, etc. And at the end of every year, there is a test. And if you pass the test, you go on to the next grade. And if you fail the test, you have to stay in the same grade. So there is also a test at the time of death. Why not? That test will determine whether we will stay in the material world or whether we will get free from the bondage. We're in a prison right now. We're in the prison of this body. We're heavily conditioned. And we're forced to go through old age, disease, and death. Now, that's fairly simple. Old age, disease, and death. That doesn't sound, that's only three things. But disease, there are many, many diseases, and you can have a whole bunch of them all at the same time. Or you can have them one after the other. And old age, there are many things that old age does to a person, psychologically, physically, in every way. And of course, death, it's a word for many people. It's not something they like to think about. We sort of, you know, like the ostrich. What's Slovenian for ostrich? Austria? Somebody? No. Okay. You know what an ostrich is? Big, long neck. Noi? Noi. Okay. The ostrich, whenever there's danger, he sticks his head in the sand or in the mud or whatever. Rabbits, they have big ears, not just for hearing, but whenever there's danger, they throw those big ears around their eyes. pretend that the fox is not there. It works for a few seconds until the fox puts his teeth into the rabbit's neck. Actually, it's kind of convenient because the big ears kind of cover the neck. And the jugular vein is right here, so as long as you got your ears. But when you flap your ears around, the fox has got easy access. Anyway, death, we don't like to think of that. So we try to forget it. But death for many people can be the most painful of all the miseries of life. And it's a test. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajati ante kalevaram. According to our mental disposition, proclivity. There's a word, proclivity. Desires, aspirations, thoughts. We're going to get another body. So, as we've said many times, sounds funny, but I'm sorry. Sometimes the law sounds funny too, but the law is the law. If you're thinking of animal activities, you have to get an animal body. Sounds funny, but that's the way it works. You're in the wrong body. God wants to help you. God is your best friend. If you want sex, then you're in the wrong body. Well, I'm quite satisfied as a human. That's all right. No, try a pigeon's body. 10 times in an hour. If you like sleeping, well, I get 8 hours, 9 hours, on 10 hours on Sunday. It's pretty good. Hey, get a bear's body, 6 months in a year. Really enjoy. Where is Cubby Carnivore? Is he here? Are you sleeping? Okay. It's a fact. I'm sorry. That's the way it works. Somebody's got to be a bear. Somebody's got to be a tiger. So, elephants. We had this elephant on Padyatra in India. It was the first time I really got to have close association with an elephant. And she could eat 200 kilos of food in a day. When was the last time you sat down and tried to eat 200 kilos of pizza? I don't care how good the prasadam is. I don't care how many rasgullas you can eat. I once ate 35 gulab jamuns in a contest. But 200 kilos of gulab jamuns? Forget it. But elephants can do it. You know, sometimes when you get full, things stop tasting good. As long as you've got a little bit of hunger there, the taste buds are awakened and you go, it's good, more, As you get full, it's like, I don't want any more, thanks. It's delicious, I don't want any more. But elephant, for 200 kilos worth, he goes on eating. He's enjoying. You're in the wrong body if you think eating is what life is all about. So you're tested at the time of death. What do you want? Do you want Krishna? Do you want a garland? See? I got the right body. I always wanted a garland. So, how to prepare for this final test of life? This is explained here. We have to exhibit the quality or develop the quality of peacefulness. I mean, why is Slovenia more developed than the rest of Yugoslavia? Any speculations? The people are far superior, of course. That's goes to the. I have some friends here from Croatia. I better not. The real reason is you didn't get involved in the war. You had a relative peace, so you could develop economically. And the rest of Croatia, the rest of Yugoslavia was engaged in various wars. There was no peacefulness, and there was no development. So in spiritual life also, the mind has to be peaceful before you can think of God. So you have to develop that nasti buddhir ayuktasya. You can't fix in God, yukta, na asti. You cannot achieve that. Na chayuktasya bhavana, unless your mind is absorbed in transcendence, you won't be able to control your mind. It will be, it'll wander. I mean, the mind's nature is to wander anyway. The mind has been leading us. You may think, well, the scripture says that we've been brahmanda brahmite, we've been wandering throughout this universe and many universes for millions of years, taking different bodies, trying to enjoy variety of sensual experience. We all want variety, and we've been traveling. Don't ever tell me that you haven't done much traveling. You've done lots of traveling. Maybe you didn't go to New York. It's probably just as well that you didn't. But you've been to other planets. You've been in different bodies. You've done a lot of traveling. So the mind has been leading you. Try this, try that. You know, you go to when you go to a restaurant, you know, when you're at home and your mother brings in the meal and, you know, she's a good cook and you sit down, oh, this is great, you enjoy it. What's offered to you, maybe it's your favorite dish, maybe it's your third favorite prasadam, whatever, and you enjoy it. You go into a restaurant, it's hellish. I'm going to order this, or, well, geez, that looks good. But gosh, I won't be able to have this. And, you get so much in anxiety that half the time you need, at least not you, but karmis, they need to get drunk a little bit so they can just choose what their meal's going to be there. So much in anxiety. So, you got to bring that mind under control. Big chava. Na cha bhavayata shantir. Unless you have a controlled mind, you won't have a peaceful mind. And ashantasya kuta sukham. Without a peaceful mind, ashanta, shantihi, you've heard that word, shanti. Ashantasya, kutaha, where is the possibility of sukham, happiness? So, peacefulness can be cultivated by regulated life. Everything. By a regulated life. By regulating your eating, your sleeping, your mating, your defending. There's that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, one can mitigate all the miseries of material life. You gonna tell me? No? The way you stood up? Who knows that verse? Come on. yukta hara viharasya yukta chestasya karmasu yukta svapna vabodasya yoga bhavati dukkha. By regulating your activities, not eating too much or eating too little, not sleeping too much or sleeping too little, you can even solve the miseries of material existence. Forget transcendence. You can be relatively happy. So you have to become peaceful, and dhammaha means self-control. Self-control means under the control of the self. That means under the control of the intelligence, which is coming from the soul. Atma means self, but it means the body self, the mind self, and the spirit self, as three different connotations according to how you use it. Atma. You've heard that word, Atma. So in order to achieve love or union with Paramatma, you have to be advanced in Atma, the soul, the self. You have to understand who the self is. Austerity means standing on your feet, on your toes, with your arms raised up towards the sun and standing that way for 100 years. That is, yogis do that. There's many types of austerity. Even Christian mystics in the past have done heavy kinds of austerity. But frankly speaking, neither we could do those things practically, nor are we encouraged to. The scripture does not say that this age of Kali Yuga requires that we leave home, that we go to the forest, that we live on, you know, ashes and leaves. And Prahlad Maharaj, not Prahlad, Dhruva Maharaj, he actually did that. He stood on one leg and he ate in the first few months, he ate just leaves and things in the forest. Then he stopped that. Finally, he ended up just living on his breath. He was living on the marrow within the bone. And then gradually, just we're living, kind of maintaining his life within his body by balancing the air. You don't have to do that, so we're lucky. But we do have to have a sincere interest in spiritual life, and we have to spend time at it. You cannot expect that God is going to descend and do everything for you. You can't expect, you know, you want to have a relationship with a person, and so you just kind of sit there and hope that maybe someday they'll come to your door and knock on your door. You gotta get out. You have to meet people. You have to connect somehow or other. That's a relationship. You have to, love is actually a verb. It's not a noun. Love is a verb. You have to do something to create a relationship. The feeling love, that may be a noun, and you know that happens in Hollywood, but in confirmed. In reality, it doesn't happen that way. You have to make an effort to know God. You have to put one step forward at least. So you have to practice some kind of renunciation so that God will understand that you're sincere. In other words, you want to leave the material world, but you still want to be completely attached to it. I want to drink, I want to eat meat, I want to have a little
is your problem, Bala. It's your problem. Krishna's already, we represent a very small portion of the living beings. Very minute fraction. Krishna is served in Goloka Vrindavan by unlimited numbers of parts and parcels, loving souls who reciprocate with him in ecstatic pastimes. So he gives us a chance, but we have to practice some austerity. You have to do something. And it's up to you. Of course, the ashram provides a place where you can regulate your life easily. Association is important. But if you don't live in the ashram, then you've got to do something in your house, and you've got to get association so that you become inspired. Because austerity is not easy in this age when at every moment your consciousness is being slammed. It's being slammed with messages. Enjoy. Come on. Smoke a Marlboro cigarette. Or you're just not a man. You know. Everywhere. Nasty messages. If you don't use this toothpaste, then this naked woman on this billboard won't even be interested in you. You know, I mean, as if you use the toothpaste and all of a sudden the girls are banging on your door, let me in, and use Crest toothpaste, I heard. It's ludicrous, but people want money, and they'll do anything to attract you, to give your money. They have no scruples at all. And in the process, our whole civilization is becoming degraded. And none of us will be happy. In a society of cats and dogs, there won't be any peace, because your cats and dogs, they just, you know, one guy's walking, you see it in the park, you see it everywhere, guy's walking along with his dog, and he's got a big dog, and somebody comes down the other side with their big dog or little dog, and you know, immediately, we live in a society of cats and dogs, and that's what we can expect. It will be the big leaders of the world. So we may not be able to change that. We have to change our hearts. Eleanor Roosevelt, the wife of President Roosevelt, she said, nobody can hurt you if you don't allow them to. It's not what happens in the external world or what happens to you that really hurts you. It's how you react. And if you're practicing Krishna conscious austerity, if you're peaceful, if you're self-controlled, socham, if you're clean inside and outside, cleanliness is next to godliness. They say about, you know, if you ever fly on the airlines, you know, like Arab Airlines or this one, that one, you know, they have in the bathroom, you know, like about 10 different kinds of perfume. In other words, they didn't take baths. They just put perfume on their body whenever it got too smelly. But that's animal life. In fact, animals bathe much more often. We should bathe daily. Keep ourselves clean. When you bathe regularly, your body feels clean,
And your inside feels clean also. Your mind. It's a start anyway. The internal cleaning can be achieved by chanting japa. Kirtan also, but japa can be more regular. Shantir arjavam evacha. Well, trinada pisunichena. We have to be more tolerant than the tree. First of all, if you have any courage, if you study Krishna consciousness and you understand that this is the right thing, it's something I like, then you should have the courage of your conviction. I do. I go everywhere and anywhere in my dhoti and kurta. And I don't care what people think. In New York, when someone doesn't like what you're doing, there's an expression in your face. In your face. I don't care what you think. Well, we care what people think on one level, but the fact is that we're doing something very, very positive for ourselves and for the rest of society. So why shouldn't we let people know that we're devotees? Why shouldn't we wear tilak? You know, if it's really a difficult situation, you always take a little water and wash it off. Or you can wear water tilak. You know, that's one thing devotees sometimes do, just use water. But still, a devotee is one who, when seen by others, reminds them of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. A devotee is one who, when seen by others, what does that mean? Reminds them of Krishna. They say, oh, there's a Hare Krishna. And they think Krishna. And they are a little bit purified. Maybe it's a tiny little bit, but it's something. And it builds and builds and builds. They get pious activity. Even it is nama bhasa. It's indirect. It may even be mocking. There's a Hare Krishna. But they think Krishna. They get benefit. So, if you can't get up in front of a crowd and give a great lecture on Krishna consciousness, if you can't even sit down with people and tell them about your beliefs, at least you can be a walking advertisement. You know? Do something. Wear a jacket that says Hare Krishna, chant Hare Krishna. Be happy. I've got about 3 or 4 different hats. Now, I don't mean management. One says chant Hare Krishna and be happy. You know. The other one says Prabhupada's dog. You know. So, Arjavam is honesty. Be honest with yourself. To thine own self be true. Right? So be honest with yourself. There's no competition here. There are regulative principles. There is a standard for initiation. But it's not that everybody has to get initiated to make progress in spiritual life. You can go as quickly or slowly as you like. It doesn't matter. Nobody should be envious of you. In the past, devotees may have, you know, oh, you're not a temple devotee, you know. Or not so bad, but, you know, they might have looked down their noses at devotees who didn't live in the ashram. It's not like that anymore. Because a lot of those same devotees who looked like that are no longer in the ashram. So... we all fall a little short in the glory of God, glory of Krishna. We can't compare. So we should be friendly to all jivas. That's what Rupa Goswami instructed Jiva Goswami. Should be kind to all jivas, and especially people who are trying to be Krishna conscious. So be honest with yourself. Don't try to pretend. Kapata means duplicitousness. When people make a show of being very advanced when they're just a hypocrite. No need for that. We're not in a competition. You may not be able to do the deity worship, but someday maybe you will. Or you can have deities in your own home and worship on a certain level. Try to follow the heavy regulative principles. Try to, you know, don't eat meat and don't take intoxication. Third one's pretty important too, but it may be tougher. Speculation, I don't think anybody really understands anyway. So, and most devotees play all kinds of sports, so try to be honest and be honest with others. You have nothing to lose. You only have 50 or 60 years. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. You know, nobody, doesn't matter what people think. Be honest and do your very best that you can and pray to Krishna for guidance and help. You're going to come out successful. You're going to become a pure devotee of Krishna. No doubt about it. Just be honest. Jnana vijnana astikyam. Knowledge, wisdom, and religiousness. They're all related. Knowledge means knowledge of the scripture. Wisdom means practical knowledge, how to apply it, how to realize it. Jnana and vijnana. When theoretical knowledge becomes very deep in your psyche, you understand it as the truth, then you're a wise person. A wise person is not someone just with theoretical knowledge but can't control his senses or can't... You know, I see a lot of devotees, not a lot, a significant number, and they stand out. They want to go to Vrindavan and Radhakund and make a show of being very advanced. For someone who's lived in India for almost 30 years, to me, it's a joke. The people in Radhakund are... There were Babaji's. It's not that there weren't Babaji's. Gaurakishore Das Babaji, Jagannath Das Babaji. But their austerities and our Western Babaji's... There was one devotee named Odulomi, and he got some very serious terminal disease. So he begged Prabhupada to give him Babaji initiation. Prabhupada refused. He pushed. Finally, Prabhupada gave him Babaji initiation. Odulomi Das Babaji. He went to Vrindavan. He chanted a few extra rounds. Then a letter came from Chicago that they had miscalculated his disease. And he really didn't have that disease. So then he left Vrindavan, went back to Chicago, and hasn't been seen since. Odulomi Das Babaji. Anuttama Das Babaji. Just stick to the straight and narrow path. Prabhupada gave us an example. Prabhupada was humble. He was charming. He wasn't too austere. He was deep in knowledge. He gave his life for us till the very last moment on his deathbed. He was preaching, translating his books. Prabhupada took so much trouble for us. He really was a man who had deep love for humanity. because he loved Krishna. So just follow Prabhupada and you'll get jnana vijnana astakyam, religiousness. Do the religious thing. In other words, follow, try to do things to the best of your ability. Be brahminical, be whatever. Religiousness is related to the regulative principles. It's not the highest level of bhakti, but it means to be a good person. And it doesn't take a big effort. If you're a good person, you know, they say, if you want to be loved, give love. Love and you'll be loved. Be religious and people will respect you. Live a sane, decent life. There was one devotee here. I think he was a devotee the other day. Seemed like a nice man. I think he's here today. He had, you know, different color hair with spikes coming out of his hair and, you know, belt and... It's not necessary. Prove your point. You know, it's not necessary. Just explain your philosophy. Sane people will understand you if you have something good to say. You want to change life in, or society. Talk about it. You don't need to be weird. Follow some tradition. I know what the philosophy is. We want to shock people. You know, blow their minds. They're not necessary. We're not trying to blow anyone's minds. We're, who live in the ashram, they shave their heads. Most Vaishnavas don't shave their heads. They have a shika. In India, dhoti and kurta was the standard dress. Everybody used to wear it. Nowadays, most Vaishnavas go to the office in shirt and tie, and here's a prime example here, a nice Brahmin, devotee, Vaishnava. I had a nice talk with him yesterday. He was in his nice suit and tie. No problem. Dress doesn't make the man. But be religious. No divorce. That's not religious. No abortion. That's not religious. Okay, I didn't read three verses. I'm sorry. There's no time. Does anybody have any questions? Yes, sir. That's my answer.
I do it to support Hare Krishna for the way. Rest to business to do the duty. Who can help
you? Is it enough to only speak, say Hare Krishna without love for other living beings to repeat just like parents?
Oh. That's nice, yeah. Chanting Hare Krishna like a parrot, there may be some value there, but not a lot. You should try to develop feeling. Initially, you know, we follow. We have a little faith and we follow, so there may not be so much feeling. But gradually we should try, because it's not that, I don't think anyone should, I've already explained about Nama Basa. There is some benefit there, but someone is interested in spiritual life, they should try to find out, well, why do you chant Hare Krishna? Who's Krishna? What is Krishna? What is Hare? To try to know. And once you know that Krishna is a person, he and his name are not different. Just listen to Bhakti Vinod Thakur. He's saying, my dear Lord, please excuse my chanting. I feel that my imperfect chanting is bruising your body. In other words, he takes the name as non-different than the body of Krishna. And he feels that his not-so-perfect chanting, pronouncing the sound Krishna, is like, it's an offense. He's bruising the body of Krishna. So he's apologizing for that, begging forgiveness. So the chanting, we should chant with feeling by all means, because there's going to come a time when the sound Krishna will become, not will become, it is, but it will become in your life, the person Krishna. Just like, suppose you had someone that you were attracted to, and you had a feeling that I would like to express my love to them by an embrace, but you were informed that all you could do was chant their name. You know, you had to remain, you could see them and watch them, but all you could do was chant your name. You get really frustrated because your desire is to have some interaction, all your senses. There is going to come a time when you chant Hare Krishna, it'll be the same experience as embracing Krishna, as reciprocating with Krishna in so many very beautiful ways. It is not, supposing someone tried to imagine the highest absolute enjoyment. Supposing someone figured out that rubbing skin together is not the highest imaginable pleasure, and they thought, let me imagine pleasure that has no problems, that goes on getting sweeter and sweeter. And they had a very good imagination, very powerful. And maybe many people got together so that there was contribution of many good imagining persons. Even if they came to the end of imagination, that's where it would end up at. A person. A relationship with a person who's perfect. Like in the movies now, you've got this wonderful place here with 12 or 15 cinemas. Yeah? It's the attraction of Slovenia, of Ljubljana. How many people have been there? Huh? None of you have seen it?
It's not open yet.
Oh, it's not open yet. Minor detail. How many of you are anticipating the opening? Okay. I hear they have state-of-the-art equipment, sound and light. So, I lost it. See, I talked about Maya and I lost it. What was the track I was on? You lost it too. Somebody tell me. Before I started into the example, what was I talking about? Tell me.
About rubbing skin.
No, oh, highest pleasure. Yeah. And the people there are going to bring you the best imaginations of the world trying to imagine newer and newer ways of enjoying the senses on the screen. Things that, you know, the movies are just getting wilder and wilder. Star Wars and Galaxy Wars and Universe Wars and Universe Wars 3 and, you know, they're really trying to, because they've got to come with something new every time. Because after you've seen Star Wars 8, believe me, that's what he planned to do originally. 8, and I think he was going to try to end up with merging into God, or maybe, I don't think he was a Vaishnava, but, you know, his idea was to actually bring people closer to success through God realization. But he himself didn't have any idea, so it's hard. But Krishna Leela, Krishna's pastimes, nobody can imagine how perfect. It's obvious in a sense. We are persons and we want a person. We're doing so many things and there's always suffering at the end of it. So here's an opportunity to do those things where it only gets more and more pleasurable. So you have to do that with feeling. You have to approach that with again, you have to be honest. You have to be a person. You have to have some feeling. You're not a dry, impersonal stone. You cannot approach God with a frozen heart. You cannot approach God with a stone heart. You have to melt. You have to learn how to cry for Krishna. Tears for Krishna. Any other questions? Yes.
You mentioned the other lines of philosophy within Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Now the question is,
did I?
Well, I got it that way.
Huh?
I got it that way.
The other lines within Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission.
Talking about
the other lines outside Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, maybe you're thinking of.
Okay, now the question is, what is basically the difference between the philosophy that Srila Prabhupada gave us and Babaji?
And
the philosophy of those people.
Well, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami, who we accept as a sun ray of Vishnu, we accept him as a very, very powerful creature. On one level, he was a brahmachari his whole life. That does not mean that he was single. It means he didn't spill any semen from his body his whole life, either by marriage or any other activity. He had a perfect memory, perfect brain. He could remember anything he had read 20 years before. 20 years before. I mean, he would do good on college exams, I think. In fact, he was a genius as an astronomer in his youth. But he had a photographic memory. And he was a powerful preacher, very austere and very strong. So when he went to Vrindavan, he calculated in order to renovate the spiritual atmosphere of Vrindavan, Krishna's birthplace, because in time everything deteriorates. Let's face it. This is the world of deterioration. Time corrodes everything. Even spiritual messages get lost in time. That's why we have to keep trying to keep Prabhupada's words and Prabhupada's mood in front of us. When a great teacher comes, he gives us life, spiritual life. But he's delivering the absolute truth because of his deep realization, and we have to keep that alive. Or we have to keep Prabhupada alive. We can kill Prabhupada or we can keep him alive. So at that time, Vrindavan had become corrupt. Holy places are like that because people go there. Sometimes they're sentimental, sometimes they're innocent but uneducated. Sometimes they bring large amounts of money wanting to purify their lives by giving to the Lord. And there's always a group of people in every profession in the world who want to cheat others. As the famous American circus organizer P.T. Barnum of Barnum and Bailey Circus said, "There's a sucker born every minute." You know what a sucker is? A fool, someone who is easily cheated. There's a sucker born every minute. So the people are out there to cheat. And it's the cheaters and the cheated. You get cheated by the grocery man who, you know, there's a shortage of fuel. Petrol prices have gone a little higher, so the trucks are bringing the fruit into the city. They charge a little more, so there's a shortage of fruit in the market. So then the man in the marketplace charges twice or three times. You need fruit. You're in the city. You can't just go to the country all the time. But he'll cheat you because you're vulnerable. He'll cheat you. Why should he cheat you? Because he wants to build a house, and the guy who's selling cement, he's also cheating. So he's got to get his money, so he's going to cheat you. And the guy who's making cement bricks and everything to build his house, he needs to keep track of all the money he's cheating people of, so he takes shelter of your computer software company. So you charge 10 times the price, you know your side. It goes around in a circle. Everybody cheats everybody. And it's a wonderful world that we live in, full of cheaters and cheated. You know, you can just trust everyone. Actually, you can trust everyone. Sometimes people say you can't trust anyone. I say you can trust everyone. You can trust that they're going to cheat you. So caste Goswamis of Vrindavan and the Babajis of Radhakund, those were his two biggest enemies, and they were both cheaters. The caste Goswamis of Vrindavan were saying that you can only be a Brahmana if you come in our family. You have to be born as a Brahmana. Doesn't matter if you smoke or drink or do any nonsense, but as long as you're born a Brahmana, then the rest of society should worship you. You know. And Prabhupada was training and initiating foreigners, Westerners. Bhakti Siddhanta also initiated some Westerners, one German man and some others also. And even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he made Namacharya, Haridas Thakur, his principal disciple. Haridas Thakur was, you know, at that time, Muslims were considered very low-class people because they were mostly meat-eaters and unclean and whatever. Not everybody, but the general mass of people. So, you know, Hindus, that was just not proper to accept a Muslim. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was against the caste system by birth. He rejected it outright. We need organization of labor according to quality. If someone shows these qualities, shamo damas tapaso cham shantir ardravam eva cha jnana vijnana astikyam, then that's Brahma or Brahmana karma, work. Karma means work. It's not only what happens to you from a past life, it's karma. Karma also means your work. Whatever you do now, what kya karma karte? What work do you do? You mean Haridas Thakur. And Bhakti Siddhanta preached very strongly, and he defeated these powerful lobbies. They were very powerful. They ran all the temples in Vrindavan, and they still do. And the Babaji's in Vrindavan actually attempted to kill him because their monopoly over people and the income they would get, you know, they were Babaji's in Radhakund, but, you know, they might appear to be living a very austere, simple life, but they were sending money home to the village, and they had a big house, and, you know, when they retire from Babaji life, go home and enjoy. So, sahajiyas, prakrita sahajiyas. That's why I say, don't, you know, it's good maybe to know about all these different groups, but I think if you just stick closely to Srila Prabhupada, you'll do just fine. You'll be successful. Any other questions? Yes, Mataji. Loudly, please.
It was said that we should not intimately, closely be connected and meet with other people, but what can we do when these people are like our relatives and we are forced to be in their association?
Well, the first thing is you should probably read Nectar of Instruction. Have you read that book? Dikshasti chet pranati bhischa bhajantam isham. It explains there that how you should relate to different kinds of Vaishnavas. Someone who is not, I mean, there are different kinds of people who can disturb your own peaceful execution of pure bhakti. There are gross sense gratifiers, and you're trying to control your senses. You used to be relatively engaged in sense gratification, and now you're trying to control. So if you associate with that type of person, there will be a tendency to relapse or to fall back to your old habits. Then, you are trying to follow some rules and regulations, you're trying to discriminate between karma, mishra, bhakti, bhakti which is influenced by fruitive desire, bhakti which is influenced by deviant philosophies. In fact, it is said, Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, Pancharatra, Vidam, Vidyaikantiki, Harir, Bhaktir, Utpat, Yaiva, Kalpate. Unless Bhakti Yoga is followed strictly according to the authorized sources, it will simply create a disturbance in society. So you're trying to follow that, and if you intimately associate with such people, you may get influenced. So it's not that you should go out of your way to be unfriendly to such persons. They have been influenced by Kali. Kali Chela, disciples of Kali. You should offer them respect within your mind, but as much as possible, two things are valuable. A strong sadhana, which acts to insulate you, insulation, insulates your mind, and try to avoid their association as much as possible. You don't want to, you know, be, you know, ridiculous about it, especially if they're your relatives. But still, you can minimize it. Because you should understand that these are my relatives, my old friends, and I really want to express my deep love for them by becoming purified. And I know that they'll get the benefit of my devotional service to my spiritual master and to Krishna. But if you do, by force of circumstance, have to take a lot of association, then you should counter that with a lot of association, good association. Is that okay? Any other questions? Yeah? You do what I do, just keep chanting. I was in Italy a week ago, and I told them, Rome was not built in a day. They understood. There's an English expression, Rome was not built in a day. I would suggest that all of you get yourselves somehow or other nicely situated in your varna and your ashrama. And I would suggest that all of you try somehow or other, even one friend, but have one good friend that you can open your heart to, or they can reveal their minds to you. And then go on with your spiritual life. And that may take time, but you should be peaceful and happy in the society of devotees. No man is an island. Who was that? Hemingway?
For whom the bell tolls?
John Doe?
John Doe.
John Donne. Yeah. It's true. We all need someone to lean on. Who was that? Who was that? It was Mick Jagger. But if you try sometime, you just might find that you get what you need. So if you try to make friends, and you have to try, hey, what do? You invite them over for dinner, or you offer them gifts, bribe them, you know. Didati pratigranati guyamakyati prichiti bunte bojayate chaiva sadvidim pratilakshana. It's too bad, it's really too bad you don't have a nice vegetarian restaurant here, a prasadam restaurant. Because then you can go out with a friend to the restaurant. You really ought to try, some entrepreneurs here ought to somehow, you know, you can do it real simply too. It doesn't have to be a big endeavor. You cook the prasadam anywhere. Maybe the temple, rent the temple kitchen, or do it through the temple. And then you have a place somewhere, doesn't have to be in the exact middle of the city, so it costs, you know, $500,000 a week or something. But keep it relatively accessible. And just have a simple place with benches or whatever. And every day bring the prasadam. You don't have to call it a restaurant because you don't have any stoves or anything there. Just bring the prasadam hot in buckets and then you serve it out. And I've seen in Australia where they have more restaurants than any other small continent. Maybe America has more, I don't know. But actually, anyway, a lot of restaurants there in Sydney and Melbourne and Perth and other places. They had two or three restaurants in Melbourne alone. One was a high-end restaurant, you know.